John chapter 12.
John chapter 12, we've been in this chapter for a little while, and the verses that we're covering, we already covered once, but we're going back and looking at four timeless truths that are brought out by these verses. Let's begin reading in verse 23, John chapter 12, verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Father, we're grateful for this passage of Scripture. Help us now as we look at just a few simple thoughts. Father, may your Holy Spirit work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we considered verse number 23, and we saw that gain comes through loss. Seems like an opposite, but according to God's principles and God's program, that's just what happens. Today I'd like to consider verse number 24 and see that faithfulness comes from dying. Faithfulness comes from dying. Again, look at verse 24 with me. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say," I'm sorry, not faithfulness, "fruitfulness comes from dying. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And so we all want to be fruitful in our Christian life. Now, we have to keep in mind there's two types of fruit that the Christian bears. There's one type of fruit which would be the result of sharing the gospel and winning souls to Christ. The second type of fruit is found in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Every Christian should be bearing both. If we're bearing the fruit of the Spirit, it will only be natural that the result of that is souls for the harvest. And so how do we do that? It comes by dying. Now, before we get into that part, this verse says, except a corn of wheat. What is a corn of wheat? Is it corn or is it wheat? Which is it? And this was one of the things that we had a lot of fun with when I was in the dormitory. I have told you before how we would, just for fun, we would get two guys that we knew had opposing viewpoints and start a conversation on that particular topic and then see how long they'll argue about it. But corn is, let me get out the dictionary from 1828, the Webster Dictionary. Here's the definition, the primary definition of the word corn: a single seed of certain plants as wheat, rye, barley, and maize. And so that's what the word corn means. We have limited it just to maize, or what we know as corn, the yellow stuff that comes on cobs. But the interesting thing about that definition is that in England, if you use the word corn, they're assuming you're referring to wheat. That was the primary definition of corn to the English people. And that was a more current dictionary where I read that. So I don't know that they still do that. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But when we see a corn of wheat, there's no contradiction, just a grain of wheat, just one. And that's what's being emphasized by the word corn, just a single grain of wheat. If it falls into the ground and if it begins to grow, what's it going to bring forth? Not just fruit, much fruit. Now, I don't want to get into John chapter 14 where there's fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, because we'll get there eventually. We're not that far away. And if I talk about that now, when we get to that point, nobody will listen. When I get there, you'll all be, and we don't need that to happen. It's going to be hard enough in the warmer weather. But the fact is, if we want to bear forth much fruit, we've got to die. Just as that grain of wheat, if it wants to produce fruit, it has to fall into the ground. Now, how does the Christian die? Look over in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. This is a verse that should be familiar, because this is what every Christian should be striving for on a daily basis. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, says this. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Now, we understand what crucifixion is. It's being nailed to the cross, and it's dying. It's giving up the ghost. It's perishing in a very cruel way. But nevertheless, it's death. He says, I died with Christ as Christ died on that cross on Calvary. Every day, I join him on the cross, and I die to self. But he goes on to say, nevertheless, I live. When Jesus says that we need to die to self, he doesn't mean that we're to give up this life and go to heaven. What he means is we're to give up this life and let Jesus live through us. And he says that in the next phrase here in Galatians 2:20, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's how the Christian is to die, by allowing Christ to live in us and through us. And as we approach every situation, that old phrase that has been overused, what would Jesus do, is still valid. Because we should be acting on Jesus' behalf. When we encounter other individuals and we see how they have needs in their life, or to treat them, whether they're lovely or unlovely, whether they're receptive or unreceptive, we should deal with them as Jesus would deal with them if he were the one there. That old sign at sometimes is at the back of a church door at the exit, you're the only Jesus this world will ever see, is so often true. Because a lost man isn't going to go into the Word of God. He's not going to enter into the halls of a church and hear about our Lord and Savior. The only way he's going to know what Jesus is if you allow Jesus to live through you. And so when those cross words enter into our mind to give to that person who just said some things to us that weren't very kind, we need to stop. And we need to think, would Jesus use cross words? Now, the fact is, he did at times, didn't he? And so there is a place for that. So we've got to ask ourselves, is this the moment? Is this the time? Is this the situation? Or is this a time to respond in love, in gentleness, in kindness? Is this the time to love our neighbor as ourselves? We've got to ask ourselves these questions in every situation. What would Jesus do? How about when you're on the road? If you drive Shaner very much, it's getting a little bit busier because of Clinton River Road being closed, and that person cuts you off. How are you going to respond? Are you going to lay on the horn and give them a piece of your mind, or are you going to just back off and, okay, that's fine. I'll love you as myself. You know, traffic is the worst place to live a Christian life, isn't it? Maybe it's not a problem for you. It just, maybe I shouldn't be telling on myself. But every situation, every encounter with other people, what would Jesus do in this situation? We need to let him live through us if we're going to die to self. And the only way we're going to bear much fruit is if we die to self. We've got to be like that grain of wheat, technically a kernel of wheat, dropped into the ground, dying so that it can produce the fruit. We've got to put ourselves in the position where that fruit can occur. In John chapter 15, Jesus said this in verse number 5. Yeah, I said earlier John 14. It's John 15 where you have the fruit, the more fruit, and the much fruit. This is the much fruit verse. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And that's a verse that I just can't read enough and remind myself of enough, because sometimes we get so full of ourselves that we think, well, we can do something, we can accomplish something. And the interesting thing about this verse, he doesn't say you can't bring glory to God by yourself. He doesn't say you can't win a soul by yourself. Now, those things are true, but he says, without me, you can do nothing. What about the job you work, you've trained for, you've been trained on, and you have skill in certain areas? Are you going to let Jesus do that job through you? Or are you going to realize that without him, you can do nothing? You say, well, I've got knowledge, I've got skill. That's true, and that's good. That's important. You need to have that and seek to be always increasing that. But who gives you the breath to breathe, to keep you alive, to do that job? Who's giving you the mind? You see, without Him, we can do nothing when we boil it all down. And learning that job and performing that job on a daily basis and to do it error-free, well, that's a tough one, isn't it? You know what really burns my griddle? When I go to McDonald's, there's only one thing I like. I went about 10 years refusing to go to McDonald's. So I'd order a hamburger, and everything you get, they throw that yellow stuff. I just call it slime. It's not really cheese. It's like Velveeta. Look at Velveeta. It's on the package. They admit it. It's cheese spread, isn't it? It's not cheese. Cheese spread. And so anyway, when I ask them to take it off, they don't credit me the 50 cents they would charge me if I asked for an extra slice of cheese. And it was a matter of principle. But I finally found something that I like without cheese, a double hamburger with extra onions and extra ketchup. I really enjoy that little hamburger. And once in a while, when I go to a McDonald's and I order that, I only get one hamburger. They should know better. I'm not happy. And so they just need to allow Jesus to help them do their job without error. And we're all subject to error. I don't get upset. I'm very unhappy because I know I'm going to be hungry the rest of the day because it takes those two burgers to fill me up, and it's perfect. But one isn't enough, and all you taste is bun. But we're all subject to making mistakes. I make mistakes. I know you find that hard to believe. I'm trying to remember the last one I made. I think it was 1978. No. Of course, I'm just jesting. That was a mistake just saying it because now the lightning's coming, and we'll get a sunroof here in the building. But we all make mistakes. You know, we really need to strive to do our best on the job for the glory of God, because people should know you're a Christian serving the Lord, and they're going to look for anything they can to belittle you. Mistakes on the job are one of the biggest things they can grab a hold of, because sometimes it's the only thing, and it should be the only thing they have. And so we need to understand that without Jesus, we can do nothing. And so, though we have skill, though we have ability, though we have experience, we need to learn to depend daily on Jesus Christ to help us do that job, to perform to the highest ability that we're capable of doing. What it all comes down to is just simply dependence. Dependence. We're talking about the seed, the grain of or kernel of wheat falling in the ground, dying to self, and producing fruit. The only way we're going to die is to be crucified with Christ, to dwell in Him, as it tells us, or abide in Him, as it tells us in John 15:5, depending on Him for everything, even if we know how to do it, depending on Him. Okay, so we're talking about fruitfulness comes from dying. Now let's consider that fruit, and we're just going to look at the fruit of the Spirit primarily, Galatians chapter number 2. And we're not going to spend a lot of time looking at the fruit, but I want to look at the verses that precede it. We all know we're in a war, don't we? A spiritual war. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us all about it. In fact, in the current Sword of the Lord, there's a pretty decent article on the on that, Ephesians chapter 6, and he briefly discusses the armor of God that God has given to us. But I thought he did a nice job with that in a brief way. So we all know that, as it tells in, I believe, 1 Corinthians, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. But did we wake up this morning thinking, you know, I'm in a war. I need to be careful what I do, what I choose, the places I go, the things that I say, the things I set before my eyes. Do we think those things through? You know, if I were to ask you, are we in a spiritual war, we would all quickly say, yes, of course we are. But do we live as if we're in a war? And so in verse number 16, we're reminded, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust, now here's the war, the lust, flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. Paul, in that last phrase, is echoing what he says in Romans chapter 7. And you, If you read Romans 7, we're not going to take the time to go back there, but just the frustration of the Apostle Paul as he's being very transparent and saying, you know, the things I want to do, I don't find myself accomplishing those things, but those things I don't want to do, those things I want to avoid, those things that are harmful in my life, those are the things I find myself doing. And you can just express that, or you can feel the emotion and the frustration in the words that God allowed him to pen so that you and I don't feel like such losers when we fail God. Because the Apostle Paul did too. Now that doesn't give us an excuse or a green light to do those things. It just means we're not alone in this battle. But we're all fighting it together, and we have our victories and we have our losses. But, you know, he asks, who will give us the victory? And of course it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this all fits together, with dying to self and bearing much fruit. You see, we've got this war dwelling and raging within us between the flesh and the spirit. You know what my flesh would rather be doing now? Would be sleeping. I was really tired this afternoon. I took a really long nap. And you know how my kids are. They wanted a really short sermon tonight, so I'm going to really try to make it long. Because I'm trying to leave the house because I overslept on my nap. And first, my wife wouldn't quit talking to me. And finally, I was able to dismiss her, and I turn around to head out and run smack dab into Samantha. And she just, you know, what am I going to do? I got to get to church. So I accuse them of ganging up on me to keep the sermon short. And then someone else wants to keep singing songs and songs and songs. Like, Dad, how much time you want? Am I supposed to say an hour? I don't think he'd accept that. In the flesh, there's a lot of things we'd rather be doing, isn't there? But in the Spirit, if we're led of the Spirit, if we're dying to self, we'll be here because we understand the importance of fellowshipping together. We'll understand the importance of singing the great hymns of the faith. We'll understand the importance of corporate prayer or group prayer. We'll understand the importance of hearing just one simple message from the Word of God. It doesn't have to be profound. It doesn't have to be eloquent. It just has to be from God's Word. And the Holy Spirit can use that and minister to us and speak to us and challenge us and convict us all through the foolishness of preaching, as he calls it in 1 Corinthians. And so we yield to the Holy Spirit of God as we abide in Christ and walk in the Spirit. It's somewhat interesting the way he states it in verse 16, walking the Spirit contrasted with lust of the flesh. He doesn't ever say walking in the flesh. It's just lusting, the things the flesh desires. But walking in the Spirit is a continuous action that we've got to learn to do and accomplish in our lives. And if we do, then we'll produce the fruit that is listed in verse 22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, the flip side of this coin, if we're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh, what does that look like? And that begins in verse number 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these terrible things: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. It's a pretty terrible list. You see, that's what our flesh lusts after. Now, hopefully all of us in the room would say, well, there's nothing in that list I lust after. Well, good for you. But if we let the flesh fulfill its lusts, that's where it will spiral downward to. And that's why the world is in such a mess. Because been a long time now, 60 plus years since they took the Bible and prayer out of the schools, where now we've raised a second generation with no regard for the Word of God. And so the flesh is just spiraling downward into this representation of what we have here on this list. And if we would look in Timothy, we would see what the last days, the perilous times, look like. We see a very similar list described for us, because there's no regard for the Word of God or the Spirit of God, no desire to walk in the Spirit and to abide in Christ, but just simply fulfill the lust of the flesh, following the heart. That's what man's doing. and they're reaping the results, bearing the fruit, so to speak. And it isn't pleasant, it isn't pretty. And so it's imperative that we recognize the battle we're in, the spiritual battle on a daily basis, and we walk in the Spirit, and we deny the flesh by crucifying it with Christ. Nevertheless living, but Christ living in us and through us. In Romans chapter 12, I know I alluded to this recently, but let's look at it again. I focused more on verse 2 last time we looked at Romans 12. I want to look just at verse number 1. You know, how do we do Christian service? How can we walk in the flesh, abide? And I've already mentioned it, but again, just a reminder here in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we focus in on the sacrifice, the holy, the acceptable, the reasonable service. You know what we oftentimes skip over? By the mercies of God. The only way we can serve God, the only way we can walk in the Spirit, is by the mercies of God. What are God's mercies? Not giving us what we deserve. I think too often we take God's mercy for granted. And here he's appealing to the mercies of God as the motivation to offer ourselves this sacrifice to die to self, to be crucified with Christ. He's using that as the motivation because we certainly don't deserve everything God gives us. And God has given us here in the United States of America more than any other generation in the entire world has ever had. It's easy to take those mercies for granted because of his blessings, because of his goodness. Sometimes we just need to take a back seat and think about things. What do I really deserve? And we all know the answers to these statements. But we need to let the mercies of God motivate us to just simply yield ourselves as a living sacrifice, to live a holy life, separate from the world. That's what the idea of holiness is, that I am not going to be like the world about me. I'm going to be separated unto God to live for him. You see, that's crucified with Christ. That's walking in the Spirit. You see how all these verses fit together? This is the normal Christian life. This is the life God desires us to live. And this is a life that then will produce much fruit because fruitfulness only comes from dying like that grain or that kernel of wheat, that corn of wheat falling into the ground. And so it needs to be acceptable unto God. You know, God can use anything, can't he? He used Samson. And look what a mess Samson's life was. Well, wouldn't you think he'd rather use in a much greater way someone like Samuel? And it wasn't Samuel, when you read through your Bible, isn't it a whole lot more pleasant to read about Samuel than it is to read about Samson? You read about Samson, all you read about is disappointment and wasted potential. You read about Samuel and you see the grace of God using a little boy who basically was adopted into the priesthood, only able to see his family about once a year. Boy, what a sad story that can read on the surface, but to see how God used him and blessed him and blessed the family for allowing that to happen. And we see the mercies and grace of God. God wants people who will walk after the Spirit, who will crucify the flesh, who will offer themselves a living sacrifice and live a life acceptable to God that he might use them to bear much fruit. And so, you want to bear fruit. And we've only talked about the fruit of the Spirit, but all this applies to the souls coming to Christ as well. We've got to die, because fruitfulness only comes from dying. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, challenge our hearts to commit our lives anew and afresh to living for you. Lord, I just believe it's all of our desire here in the room this evening to bear much fruit in our lives, both the fruit of the Spirit, but also to be used to win souls to Christ. Father, help us to understand the prerequisites, the dying to self, and then help us to live it. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.